Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Now that's how you get a service started. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church. Hey, want to say hi to Curtis Blake up here in the front row. Woohoo, Curtis. Curtis moved away in sin. I'm just kidding, because we miss him. But Curtis was part of BBC for years and years and was a leader in youth group and just did lots of amazing things here. And then God called him to Rhema. And so he went to Rhema, and now he's doing ministry in North Carolina and doing amazing things. Got a big prison ministry and ministry to people in recovery, and he's always calling about something awesome happening. Amen? And that's great. That's great. But he's down visiting, so before you leave today, make sure you say hi to him and welcome home. Hint, hint. Welcome home. We're in a new series called We Church, Not Me Church, and excited about it. And so today we're going to talk about the power of one. And so it seems like that doesn't go together, but it really does. And, you know, we think about, and we have so much going on in our world. There's just so many things, so many options. How many remember when there was only three television stations? Right? There was only three. I remember when Fox came out, and everybody said, oh, that's never going to make it. That you can't compete with ABC, NBC, and that's never going to make it. Now, I don't even know how many channels there are. There are so many channels, and there's just so much going on, and we can really not connect anymore. We talked about that last week. But today, I just want to talk about how, with so many people, most of us would seem that there's somebody more capable, more gifted, more prosperous, more important than we are. And who do we think we are? But the thing is that God always uses one to impact many. Amen? And we're talking about the body of Christ, the church, and God always uses one to impact. And I got a list here for you, because a lot of times we think, well, you know, what's the one thing I'm going to do? What's that going to matter? How's that going to impact? I'm not that important. Or how can just one thing make a big difference? But the truth of the matter is God always, always used individuals and their involvement, and he still does. How many did it take to help the victim who got mugged on the Jericho Road? One, the Good Samaritan. How many were chosen by God to confront Pharaoh and lead the Exodus? One. How many sheep got lost and became the object of concern to the shepherd? One. How many were needed to confront adulterous David and bring him to his knees in full repentance? One. How many prophets were called to stand before wicked King Ahab and predict a drought? One. How many did the Lord use to get the attention of the land of Israel and prepare the way for the Messiah? One. We can never underestimate the power of one when that one is connected to the body. Amen? We can never, never underestimate the power of our individual involvement in the body. Amen? Because it really is life-changing. When we think about ourselves, we need to remind ourselves, I am the one God is looking for. I am the one God is going to use. I am the one who's going to make a difference. I am the one who's part of the body that God will use. And so we have a video for you. We're going to show you the power of one in the life of one. Amen? Go ahead, guys. And that's so good. The power of one. And I'm sure you're here. Maybe you can think about who invited you to church, who invited you into a relationship with the Lord, who helped mentor you. You know, God uses people to help change the lives of people. Amen? And he doesn't use necessarily perfect people. None of us would be qualified. He uses all of us to do big things in the lives of other people. And so for the next, you know, we've got a couple more videos. Each one is just powerful because it's the power of an invitation. You know, David didn't have to get up and stand on a soapbox and preach and preach. No, he just said, you need Jesus. Right? And I'm sure all of us know somebody who needs the Lord. And so don't think it's a big deal. It's a big deal, but don't think you're the one that's got to do all the work. You're the one who's part of the body. Amen? You do your part, and then everybody else does their part. And what do we have? We have life change. Amen? That's how it works. And so when we think about this, it's really not based on our ability, it's based on our availability. Amen? God uses those who make themselves available to him. He'll use you if you make yourself available to him, just like he used David because he made himself available. He put himself out there and said, hey, you need Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8, the word says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. We need to ask ourselves, we say it here in church, it's easy to say here in church because we all love Jesus, right? But will we say in other times, hey, Lord, send me. Send me. And sometimes people are hesitant to say that because they're like, I don't want the Lord sending me to China or sending me somewhere I don't want to go. Listen, God's not going to send you anywhere you don't want to go. It's in your heart to go. He's sending you. But, you know, he may not send you to China ever if you can't even go next door. Amen. Or you can't go to the next cubicle, or we can't talk to the cashier or the waitress or whoever. God is looking for people just like you to impact someone's life. People are hurting. I mean, how many know in the times we live in, people are really hurting and they are lost and they are looking for answers. And you have the answer. I have the answer. His name is Jesus. Amen? And so, you know, the thing about it is we want to make ourselves available to God for him to do anything he asks of us. Lord, here I am. Send me. Send me to make that invitation. Send me to make that Facebook post. Send me to be used to change the lives of people. Because people need what we have. We have the greater one on the inside of us. We have Jesus. He is the Redeemer, the Restorer of our soul, and he is who people need. Amen? You know, there is a story that I read, and it says, there was an old Mercedes-Benz TV commercial that showed their car colliding with a cement wall during a safety test. Someone then asked the company spokesman, why don't they enforce their patent on the Mercedes-Benz energy-absorbing car body, a design evidently copied by other companies because of its success? He replies matter-of-factly, because some things in life are too important not to share. Amen. And if that's true for a car design that saves lives, isn't it even more true for the King of Kings who saves, restores, heals, and saves our lives, not just here, but for eternity? Amen? Some things are just too important not to share. And what God has done in you is what people want to hear. Sometimes when we hear about witnessing and sharing the gospel, we automatically think that we're going to be put on the spot. Like, oh, I'm going to be put on the spot. And they're going to ask questions that I don't know the answer to. And listen, that's going to happen. You know, that's going to happen. Don't make up an answer. Just say, hey, I don't know the answer, but let's find it together. Amen? Let's find it together. Let's find someone who does. But a witness tells. When we've all seen Law and Order and all the TV shows, or maybe you've been a witness in an actual court case, what does a witness do? A witness tells their story. They tell what they saw, what they experienced, and it has to be personal. It has to be personal. It can't be something that you heard somebody else say, because then it's what? Hearsay. Listen, look at us, legal geniuses. It's hearsay. Hearsay, right? it has to be personal. And so when it comes to being a witness, you don't have to know all the answers. You just got to tell your story. Tell your story. Tell somebody what God has done for you. Amen? Because that's what people want to hear. They want to hear, what does God do? What people want to know, what's in it for me? That's what people want to know. What's in it for me? They want to know, what will God do for me? And when they hear about what God has done for you, they're going to look at you and think, if he did it for them, he'll do it for me. Amen? He'll do it for me. And that's the truth. That's the truth. But you know, we live in a time that the Christian faith is being persecuted more than ever in our lifetimes. In our lifetimes. Not more than ever, but more than ever in our lifetimes, in our country. It's not popular to be a Christian anymore. It's not popular. And a lot of times we silence our voice because we don't want to be labeled as things. We don't want to be labeled as intolerant or whatever. We don't want to be labeled. So we're just kind of, we can just sit on the sideline a little bit and think, well, you know, I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with what people are going to say. But you know, back in the early church, in the book of Acts, that's where the church was born. That's where the church began. And so when we look at that time, they were under such incredible persecution, something like we can't even understand. And they were under such persecution, but Jesus told the people, he told them with the Great Commission, what did he say? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And one translation says, go and tell the good news to every living creature. But the thing is, we need to go. And he's telling them this in a time where just a little bit ahead, they're hiding in an upper room because they fear the persecution of the crowds of people that don't like them, don't like what they stand for, don't agree with them, and really want to kill them, persecute them, and make them pay. But Jesus still said, you need to go. And here's the really cool part. When you read Acts chapter 8, this is right when after Stephen has been martyred. He's been martyred, and we know the story. They take Stephen, and they stone him to death. But it was right after that, the Bible says that because of their persecution, because of all the crazy, the gospel spread. It's in atmospheres just like we live in that the gospel will spread. You know why? Because people need it now more than ever. You may not think that the person sitting next to you at work or on the bus or at school or standing in line, that you may not think they want to hear what you have to say, but the truth of the matter is they are crying out for the truth. And that's the gospel. Amen? We're not going to knock anybody's head up with it. We're not going to get out a big fat Bible and pound somebody. This doesn't do anything. This works. Amen? When we tell people what God has done in our lives, it gives them hope. Why? Because he is the hope of glory. And so when we read in the book of, in the eighth chapter of Acts, and we're not going to go through the whole thing, but God used the pressure of opposition to scatter the church until it reached Samaria. And in the eighth chapter of Acts, one individual stands out, and his name is Philip. His name is Philip. Philip was first introduced to us in chapter 6 because he was one of the seven men who, when they were looking for someone, they said, find men who are full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit and use them to minister to the widows and the orphans. And Philip was picked. And so here's Philip, and he gets picked. He's one of the seven guys anointed to take care of the feeding of the widows. And here we see that he was so excited. He was so zealous about spreading the good news of Jesus to others, that he was like a one-man army, they say. And he went to the Samaritans who nobody cared for. It sparked revival. And here's what happened. When he went to Samaria and he used his testimony, whose testimony did he use? His own. He used his testimony, and conversions and miracles began to happen. And look what happened in Acts chapter 8, verse number 8. Turn there if you will. This is after Stephen has been martyred, and now persecution is on the church in a strong way, and Philip comes, and he spreads all the way to Samaria, and he begins to preach the gospel to people who nobody wanted to talk to. And here's what happens. The entire city of Samaria was affected by one guy's willingness to share the good news. And here's what happens. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 8, it says, "So there was great joy in that city." There was great joy in that city. We need to ask ourselves, where's my city? Where's my city that God wants me to bring the gospel to so that sorrow and pain can be replaced with great joy? Amen? Where's my city? Is it the floor where I work? Is it my classroom? Who's my city? You know what I declare over the city of Lake Worth? I say the city of Lake Worth is a blood-washed city. Amen, that it is washed by the blood of Jesus. We are here for a purpose, for a time. We're here for this time. And I speak over this city when I pray for it. I say, I thank you, Lord. There is great joy in this city. Joy from hearts being healed. Joy from souls being saved. Joy from families being put back together. Joy from bodies being healed. Joy from depression being replaced with the joy of the Lord. There is great joy in the city because you can't have the gospel without joy. The gospel brings joy because it is the good news. Because it heals and restores and helps and makes us brand new. When we are broken, God comes in and heals us. And I don't know about you, but that brought great joy to my life when God healed me. When I learned and understood that I was not my past, that I was who God said I was. Not who people said, not what my actions defined me as, but I was who God said. Oh, I tell you, that was great joy in my city. Amen? Because of the gospel. Let's not be those people that are saved so long we forget the power of the gospel. Amen? Sometimes we can just sit in church and think, oh, this is a good word. This is a good word. It's for me. It's for you. It's to go in you, but don't forget the through you. Amen? It's to go in you, but it's got to go through you. Or you know what's going to happen? As a church, we talked about it last week, we're going to get layers. We're going to cover up our muscles with layers. We're going to get fat on the wrong stuff because we're not letting it go in us and through us. God's done great things in your life because he loves you, because he cares about you, because he has a plan for you, but the plan for you is not just for you. Amen. The plan is for all the people in our life who need a life change. I love what Jeff said. He said the life I have is better than I ever thought it could be. Man, that's powerful. I don't know about you, but I got that testimony too. God is doing things in me I never dreamed of. I never imagined. I never thought were possible. But you know what? They are. They are. That gospel is to go in us and through us. Amen? Because you know what? I tell you, when I walk around the city, when I go into restaurants and when I'm talking to people, there's a lot of pain and hurt out there. But I believe through the gospel, it can be replaced with joy. Amen? Can you imagine? I mean, just get a picture. Just get a vision of revival starting in everywhere we are. We want to change the world. You don't change the world by the millions. You change the world by the one. Amen? That's how it works. When I read the book of Acts and I look at Philip and I see what he did and how he changed an entire city with his willingness to share his testimony. Oh. And there was great joy in the city. And then in the end of the chapter, we look and we see that God reaches in to this amazing citywide revival in Samaria. He reaches in and he pulls out the evangelist. He pulls him out. We all know that he gets translated. He pulls him out of there and he sends him to the desert to speak to. Now, Philip at this time is speaking to tons of people. A citywide revival has kicked off because of him. One person at a time, he's just doing it. And then God reaches in and pulls this firecracker out. And he puts him in the desert to speak to one person. An Ethiopian who got a hold of the scripture. And it's so powerful to know that when someone had the actual scripture in their hand, they had spent a small fortune on it. Because each Bible, each scripture, all the verses, they were hand copied. And so to have one was a great treasure. And the Bible tells us that this Ethiopian is traveling out in the desert somewhere, and all of a sudden he's reading the scripture, but he doesn't understand it. So what does God do? He pulls Philip out of Samaria, brings him to this Ethiopian, and he leads him in the gospel. He tells him the truth. He tells him about what Jesus has done. The Ethiopian receives the gospel, gets born again, and guess what happens? He goes home. He gets baptized. He goes home. Now, here's what history tells us, that when missionaries finally reached Ethiopia, guess what? It had already been evangelized. They already knew the gospel. They already had the gospel. Why? Because one man reached another man who changed a nation. Man, isn't that powerful? You never know the power of one. There's a story of an evangelist, and it's a true story, that he would go and do tent crusades, you know, back in the day. And he was preaching, and he was, you know, just giving it his all. And he wrote in his diary later that night, he said, it wasn't a very eventful or successful meeting, and he was disappointed. He said, because only one person gave their life to Jesus, a young man named Billy Graham. You just don't know who God's going to use you to open up the door for a life to be changed. Amen? You just don't know. You don't know. But we got to use our availability to say, God, you tell me to talk to him, I'll talk to him. You tell him to tell me to tell my story, I'll tell my story. I'm going to be bold with who I am. I am a believer. I am a child of God, and I'm going to make sure that people know. Amen? Because you never know who that one person is going to see and say, wow, they are different. God's doing something in their life. I love how God used one person so many times. So many times God uses one person to make a huge, huge impact. We think about the little boy with his lunch in a crowd of over 5,000. He was available and gave what he had. Amen? We think about Esther. The Bible says that she was born for such a time as this. An entire nation was changed because of her courage and her boldness. We think about the young servant girl who was used to speak to her master's wife and heal him of leprosy because she was bold and said something. Sometimes just a sentence can change a nation. You don't know. God will use you to do the impossible. He will use us to do what we have no idea, but he knows. I was thinking this morning, I thought, I wonder if Ben Dronsnick, who used to go to BVC and then he moved to Virginia, he and his wife, Vicky, but they would do a Saturday morning outreach. Every Saturday, they would go with a team of people from BVC and they knock on doors and they just tell people, hey, God loves you. God loves you. I wonder if he knew on the day that he knocked on Will Harper's door, whose door he was knocking on. Because in the natural, it looked like just a drug addict, strung out kid. But because of that knock, that kid came to church. And because that kid came to church, he came into youth group high. But because we loved him, we said, hey, just keep coming back. Doesn't matter if you're high, it's all right. Just keep coming back. And he kept coming back, and every week he was a little less high. That's a good thing, right? You know, progress is progress. Amen? We'll take it. And so he kept coming back. Long story short, he's now ministering. He's doing amazing things for God. He's on staff pastoring. I mean, who knew that a knock on the door? And from that same knock, we got Anna. From that same knock, we got Camille. From that knock, just one knock, you just don't know what's going to happen. I share this story often because it's such a powerful story, and it's my story. But I remember when I worked at Publix, I was a cashier at Publix for years, and it went so far back is when we wore the green polyester. Anybody remember those? The green polyester. If you pay me, I'll show you a picture of me in it. It's worth it, I guarantee it. And so we wore the green polyester. I remember I was at Inspiration House when it was at, this is going way back, the Cross County 8 Mall. Right? Anybody remember that? Cross County 8 Mall. And I was standing, I was getting some books, and this is before the, internet. Some people are like, what? There was a, yes. And you had to go to the bookstore, right, to get books. And so I was at the bookstore to buy books because I was, you know, just new in the Lord, hadn't been back with the Lord that long. And as I was paying for my book, I saw this little pin, and it said, Jesus is number one. And I thought, man, I'm going to buy this little pin. It was tiny, like this big. And so I bought it, and I put it on the lapel of my green polyester Publix uniform. And nobody ever said I couldn't wear it or anything like that, or I would have taken it off, because where you work, you follow those rules, right? But so I wore it, and I never said much. One day, I had to walk out to a register to sign something, and there was a lady standing in the line, and she had, I had to approve her check. I think that's what it was. And I walked out there, and it was Danette Weddle. And so she's pretty forceful, you know. She's kind of a forceful person. And she said, hey, what does that pen say? And I said, it says Jesus is number one. She goes, do you go to church? And I was like, yeah, I go to church. Where do you go to church? I said, I go to Believer's Victory Church. Where is that? Now, at this time, we met somewhere. I said, we meet in the Haverhill Town Hall. We meet in the Haverhill Town Hall. She goes, huh, what's your phone number? I was like, I don't know. You're making me nervous, lady. So I said, hey, I'll give you the pastor's number. Because he's my brother, and he'd love to talk with you. So I gave her, I think I really did give her my number, I'm just kidding. But so anyway, so I gave her my number. She ended up coming to church. But listen, from that invitation, one time years ago, we tracked down how many people from BBC could be linked back to her. And it wasn't really, I didn't really invite her. You know, I just had the pin on. I mean, she was like, where are you going to church? Are you? And then she wouldn't know if I spoke in tongues. I was like, yeah. I thought like, yeah, you know, like, and she goes, oh, that's great. That's great. And I was like, oh, you know? And so from that pin, from her, we traced back, and it was literally countless people. Because from her came Charlotte Rayrig, came Diane Passion, came all those guys. From there came Candy Vitani, the whole Vitani family, from that. It is powerful. Sometimes we think we got to do so much. But if we'll just be available. Because I'll tell you, at the time, it was a big deal for me to have that pen. Because I had turned my back on another way of living. And it was like a bold declaration. This is who I am now. Don't invite me there. And it's uncomfortable when you make a change like that. It's very uncomfortable. Because when you're sincere about it, when you walk in, nobody wants to tell that joke. But the truth is, you don't want to hear it anyway, right? And so it's uncomfortable, but man, it's worth it. Your life is a witness. Just like Philip's life was a witness that brought great joy to the city. What will my life bring to my city is a question we need to ask ourselves. People are hurting. They need what we have. There's a great story that I read, and a man named Summer Wimp, which is a cool name, told this story. He said, while at the beach in Jacksonville, Florida, one summer, I saw a lifeguard suddenly jump to his feet in his tower. He took the Red Cross flag out of its standard and waved it frantically so they could see him at the main lifeguard station. He then threw it to the ground, jumped down, grabbed a life buoy, and rushed out into the water. With strong strokes, he swam toward a man, waving for help. In a few seconds, an ambulance came up, and three other guards swam out to help. They rescued the man. The same scene was repeated several times that day, for the undertow was unusually strong. Late that afternoon, I went to the main station to say thanks for their dedication of these lifeguards. When I walked into the station, I was struck by a sign on the wall in large red letters which read, "If in doubt, go." It struck me that this ought to be on the wall of every church and on the table of every heart as we see the multitudes around us. If in doubt, let's go. We've got nothing to lose that's worth anything. And the person that God has sent into our path has literally everything to gain. Everything. Say, well, what do I say? Turn in your Bibles to John. I know that today, usually I always have lots more scriptures and things like that, but today is really about your story and what to do with it. Amen? And so come back next week if you're saying, I didn't get a whole lot of scripture in there today. Come back next week. John 3:16. Say, what do I say? What do I say? Say this. Tell them your story. Tell them how God saved you. Tell them how God healed you. How God rescued you. Tell them what God has done for you. And say, and he'll do it for you. You know how I know? Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world. So many people think they're unqualified, disqualified for the love of God. They think because of where they've been and what they've done, it disqualifies them for a life change. But it says right here, for God so loved the world. So ask them, do you live on the earth? If the answer is yes, you qualify. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't stop there. Verse number 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's not here to condemn you. God's not interested in what you've done. He knows his blood can take care of anything, anything in your past, because nothing but the blood of Jesus washes away sin. So you tell them, God doesn't care where you've been. He doesn't care what you've done. He came to save you, not condemn you. God loves you. Will you receive him? Let's pray together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that every person here today, that wherever they are, wherever they've been, maybe there's somebody here today and you say, you know what? I'm the one who needed this message today because I need Jesus. I need to know that I know and have assurance that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know that all my sins have been forgiven. I want what you're talking about. I want a life change. I want what Jeff was talking about. I want a life change. Listen, a life change only comes with Jesus. And all you got to do is open up your heart and say yes to Jesus. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and that's you, you say, I want to be saved. I want a life change. I want a relationship with God the Father. I want to know him. Then say this prayer with us. We're all going to say it with you because when you're in the body, you're never alone again. You always got somebody to be with you. So let's all say this together. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, all for me. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. That makes me forgiven, saved, and on my way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isn't God so good? I love the goodness of God. And there are so many people who've heard a different message. It's up to us to tell the truth. Let's be the Philip of Lake Worth. Amen. Let's be the Philip of Wellington. Let's be the Philip of Royal Palm. Let's be the Philip of Palm Springs. Let's be the Philip of Green Acres. Let's be the Philip of West Palm Beach. Let's be the Philip of our school. Let's be the Philip where we work. Let's be the Philip that says, yes, this is what God has done in me. Yes. And he'll do it for you. Amen? He'll do it for you. You say, well, I don't have a big story. Listen, if you were lost and on your way to hell, now you're born again and on your way to heaven. That's a big story. Amen. That's the best story there is. There is no better story. That's it. And that's what people want to hear. I tell you, we need to ask ourselves, we talked about it last week, who is the one that God will use me? Lord, show me my one. Show me the one that you're going to anoint my words and give me the perfect timing, the open door to make an invitation. Come to church with me. I'll save a seat. And you might have to do what David did and say, I'll pick you up. It's worth it. I'll take you home. It's worth it. Amen. It's worth it. It's worth it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hey, we're going to receive our offering. We say here all the time at BBC, we believe it, we live it.